The proposal now, we've had a couple days to chew on it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if it's not going to happen. I think, as some have said, that part of the reason it was leaked to the media in the first place was just to distract the media from talking about the Houston Astros scandal. Just to give people who like baseball and
get follow them off
baseball,
the Astros.
Just give them something else to talk about, because this Astros story is just a
unsightly
mess.
Angels pitcher that took a blowtorch to them today. Did you see that one?
I did see that. Yep. And it was nothing but expletives.
Oh.
Nothing but expletives about, Andrew Heaney?
Haney, yeah.
Andrew Haney. Quote, I'm not going to make excuses for those guys. I know how it is. You get caught up in something. I'm sure they look back now and say, oh, bleep, we really took that overboard. But I think somebody in that locker room had to have enough insight to say, this is not okay. I haven't read all the latest bleep to know what everybody's writing about. I don't know how much is true, but somebody in that locker room had to say, this is bleeped up. We shouldn't be doing this. For nobody to stand up and say, we're cheating other players, that sucks. That's a bleepy feeling for everybody. I hope they feel like bleep.
How about this?
Close quote.
David Robertson, the former Yankee reliever, joined a long list of pitchers who have complained they were personally victimized. It's a disgrace what they've done. They're going to have to live with it, and everyone knows Robertson stating he's starting his second season with the Phillies. So he was part of that team in 2017 that played them. He says, I got roughed up in Game 6, and I felt like in that game I threw as well as I've ever thrown in my entire life. I had some pitches that got hit that I was a little shocked by, and some pitches that didn't get swung at that I was a little shocked by. At the time, I wasn't thinking about what we know now. But it all comes together now, and you know, I'm upset about it, that's for sure. They're going to be the most hated team, maybe in the history of baseball. In the history of baseball. Nobody is going to root for them. Everybody's going to root for them to lose. Everybody's going to root for their guys to get hit.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait till we come in and we talk about Altuve getting beat, especially Bregman. He seems like such a punk, Bregman. Bregman seems like a punk.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that some of these, it's pitchers. Okay. All right.
Oh, I see what
you got on
doing.
Me in 2017. Oh, you know what? I'm sorry that one just got away.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, I think they'll be the most beaned team in baseball this year. I do.
So I think that's in part why this story about changing the baseball postseason was leaked. That being said, just to get us talking about something other than the Astros and the anti-Astros anger, because it's palpable and there's obviously a lot of it. That being said, this baseball postseason suggestion is fascinating, and God bless whoever it was who did it over at The Athletic. I'm not sure who. They did all the heavy lifting, so I didn't have to. But I got to admit, the same thought kind of crossed my mind. Man, I wanted to go back and see how this would have changed. How this would have changed postseasons of years past. Who would have gotten in? How many extra Diamondback teams would have gotten in? He went back and looked at the last 8 years. And his reasoning was the last time baseball really tweaked the wild card format when they added the second wild card team was 8 years ago. So let's just use that as an arbitrary kind of cutting off point.
Okay.
8 years ago. In those 8 years, two Diamondback teams that did not make the playoffs would have made the playoffs. Last year's team.
2013.
And 2013's team. There are a handful of teams who would have benefited from extra playoff appearances. The Diamondbacks would have received the second most additional playoff appearances in baseball during that eight-year span. There were a handful of teams that would have gotten three more appearances. The Diamondbacks were at two. How would it have changed? And if it comes to pass,
I was fascinated by this.
How will it change the Diamondbacks' approach to the trade deadline and their roster if this is what it looks like?
Well, that's what I thought about this morning as I was looking at all these, you know, the stories about this team would have made the playoffs and that team would have made the playoffs and the D-backs would have made it in 2013 and the D-backs would have made it. And I'm like, boy, okay. You go back. Let's forget about 2013 for a second. You go back to last year. Mike Hazen traded Zach Greinke because they were 3.5-4 games out and there were four teams ahead of them.
Right.
You could justify it. You're not going to make the playoffs. We all said it. You're not going to make the playoffs. You're not good enough. There's too many teams ahead of you that you got to pass. But if they were a playoff team, how do you justify trading Greinke? Hey, I'm going to trade Zach Greinke, and we're not going to make the playoffs, and we're going to get all these prospects from the Astros. Now, you might say, okay, they went and got Zach Allen. Trust me, Zach Allen was good, but I mean,
Zach Greinke was better.
Zach Greinke's a better pitcher,
yep.
Of course. How do you justify to your fan base if you are and forget about that, do you even want to trade Zach Greinke if you've got a chance to go to the playoffs?
You don't. justify it. You can't justify it. You don't trade Zach Greinke. And I think you've stumbled on part of the point of why this is the suggestion for changing baseball's postseason. They want more teams thinking, we're not out of it, we're in it. Because the more teams that think that way, the more teams that will act like they're contenders.
Trade deadline gets boring.
The more fan bases. Well, that's...
Trade deadline gets boring.
I think that's trade-off baseball would be more
probably,
than willing.
Probably.
You're talking about, what, 5 hours of action on the trade deadline compared to months?
But excitement with teams that are getting players. And I mean, it's a lot to talk about, right? I mean,
it
how
is.
Many days do we talk about all the Diamondback
but
trades?
But the trade-off is literally months' worth of games that have more meaning attached to them than you ever would have had before. More teams, more fan bases, more engagement. The trade deadline is a very short-term
so
kind
do
of fix.
Do you give up those trades so that way you can give it? I mean, I just don't know. Like, go back to 2013, they traded Ian Kennedy on the trade deadline. Now, he was not having a good year, but Ian Kennedy was a 21-game winner like the year before.
Right.
Like, they traded him at the trade deadline. July 31st.
My opinion, I absolutely think you give that up. The trade deadline is fun. The trade deadline is a fun, newsy event. But if you're talking about the value of the trade deadline versus the value of 4 to 8 more fan bases who think their team have a chance, and the engagement that you're going to get from those fan bases and the attention you're going to get.
Would Hazen have pulled the trigger on a Greinke deal if that was a bona fide playoff team last year?
Nope.
That was going to play in a 3-game series.
Nope.
Right? Not a 1-game.
Not a 1-game.
It would have been a 3-game series.
His proposal is you play a 3-game series. I don't think he would have. I don't think he would. Because I think at the time the rationale was, hey, we're not going to go all in to play 1 game against Max Scherzer, right? We're not going to go all in to play 1 game against another team's ace. It's just not
it's a
worth
crap
it.
Crapshoot, you just don't know.
But if you know you've got 3 games, even if all 3 are on the road as the proposal has come down, I think that makes it a little more palatable, and I certainly think it makes it harder to justify to your fan base why you're giving up on a guy like Zach.
How about your roster? How do you go to your roster if you're, say you're 4 games up on a playoff spot?
I don't think you do.
We're going to trade Zach Greinke. What do you mean? We're in the playoffs.
We're in the playoffs right now. Season ends, we're in the playoffs.
We're in the playoffs, and we're up by like 3 or 4 games.
Yep.
We're comfortably in the playoffs. Like, it is, how do you go to your team and say we're trading Greinke? Because the right thing to do is to trade Greinke.
Yep.
And you get can't. The 4 prospects and build for the future to try to build a World Series championship team, not a team that's going to go to the playoffs as a 7 seed.
And not that I'm accusing the Diamondbacks of tanking, because they weren't tanking last year. But it will give the incentive to more teams to not adopt that kind of strategy. To not, yeah, will it kill the fun of the trade deadline? Absolutely. It'll kill it dead.
I don't know what they would do.
It'll kill it dead. I'm just telling you what I think.
I know.
I think it'll kill it dead. But I think the trade-off is worth it. And I think that, think about all the extra fan bases that would be more engaged knowing that what they're rooting for is not just some 1-game wild card, but an actual series, an actual three, in which you might have a chance to use your ace, even though you had to pitch him on the final day of the regular season.
In a 3-game series?
Because now it's a 3-game series.
Absolutely. He's going to pitch in that series.
Look, there's a lot to not like about this deal. I understand, and I don't like the fact that occasionally you're going to get a team with a losing record in. That's going to happen from time to time. But you know what? It happens in the NFL. It happens in the NBA. It happens in the National Hockey League. I understand that. But I think the benefit of extra fan bases engaged and the benefit of teams that kind of understand, hey, we can't give up our top guy. We have to kind of go for this and see how this plays out.
Is it fool's gold? I don't know if there's a word for it, but is it kind of like, man, you know you're not going to win the World Series, but you are a playoff team.
I think fool's gold is the... But this kind of forces your hand, forces you to say, we might not be a World Series roster, but man, we owe it to our fan base, and we owe it to our organization, and we owe it to the 26 guys in that clubhouse to at least try. Got to at least try. It's the playoffs.
You got off the Greinke contract that allowed you to go get Cole Calhoun and Starling Marte and Madison Bumgarner. I mean...
Yep.
You have to think about the future, right? You have to think ahead. You have to sit there and you say, can this team win a World Series? And if your answer is no, I don't even care if you're the 7th seed in the playoffs. You got to make the trades.
Wow, so even if you're a playoff team, you still make the trades?
I think so. If I look at myself in the mirror and I say, can this team win a World Series? And I'm like, yeah, no. This team's not built to win a World Series, but I can make these trades and maybe help somebody else win a World Series and build my roster to be more competitive.
Yeah.
Because if the Diamondbacks we're bringing back Zach Greinke right now, but they didn't have Cole Calhoun. They didn't have Baumgartner, and they didn't have Starling Marte because they were still paying Greinke a lot of money. I don't know how we'd feel about this roster right now.
With spring training right around the corner, the Scottsdale Charros are giving you the chance to win two VIP tickets to see a San Francisco Giants Cactus League game at their newly renovated stadium in the heart of Old Town Scottsdale. It's an experience you do not want to miss. So to enter, head to the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com right now. We've been told that this is the summer the Suns are going to attack to try to strengthen their roster. But with a down free agency class, what exactly does attacking look like? We'll tell you how, what it looks like next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Live from Saucy Stick Resort Arena, we are the Burns and Gambo Show. Here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, thank you for hanging out with us. If you're on your way down here to see the Suns and the Warriors in the final game before the All-Star break after this game, 27 games left. The emphasis will be on getting guys back healthy, obviously, and then seeing what this roster can do when it's as close to fully loaded as possible, just to see, you know, what's on the horizon for this team in the summer. And it's going to be a real interesting summer for the Suns because they, for a lot of reasons. Number one, they're one of just a half dozen teams that actually have a large amount of cap space to have
good
to spend this summer.
Good. So you can make a trade. You can add somebody into your cap space when you're below the cap. You can trade a draft pick for a player making money and just absorb that contract without having to give up equal value in the contract. So that's good that they can get under that cap.
Now, there are some who have pointed out that this year's free agency class, and I know you just mentioned trades, but having all that cap space this year, it's not the best year to have it because it's not a great free agency class. The teams are saving their money for next year's free agency class, because I believe you're talking about guys like Kawhi,
Giannis,
and Paul George, Giannis. I mean, it's going to be one of those classes in this time next year,
Yeah, and the Suns aren't getting any of those players.
Of course not. Which is why I have no problem with them spending their money this summer.
Yeah, they will.
And I have no problem with it, because they're not going to be players for any of those guys, I don't think,
from now.
But
you know, even if they were, right? Say a surprise or shock happened and Giannis wanted to play here. Oubre's numbers come off the books. That's $15 million. You know, so he's got his numbers coming off the books, and you could always,
unless you want to keep him, you know, I mean,
yeah, if you want to keep, but I'm saying if you could get a player, a star player, and you're like, I need to free up money, well, you could free up Oubre's money.
Yeah,
you know, that's money that is coming off the books for 2021.
It's nearly impossible for me to imagine the Phoenix Suns would be in the market for one of those star players summer.
They don't chase stars. This team is not chasing stars. They're not capable of chasing stars yet. You know, that's why. And I always say that. They're not chasing. They're not all in on that 2021 free agency class. They're in on 2020. They sold Devin Booker on it. And you made a good point. I mean, you can't keep kicking the can down the road.
You can't put
year
that
after
off.
Year. And risk upsetting, you know, your star player. You can't do that.
Nope, you can't. You've got to show them a commitment now. Now, I understand the trade market is going to be the more appealing way of going about this. Some of the names on this free agent list, I know it's not the best list. Some of them are interesting.
Okay, who?
Danilo Gallinari to me is interesting.
Yeah, I would say, and I gave you three earlier. I'll say that I think Saric isn't coming back, 100%. Okay, I know they tried to trade him, so he's not coming back. I would say out of Gallinari, Markkanen, and Aaron Gordon, they're going to get one of those three guys. I truly believe they're going to get one of those three guys.
Okay?
Okay? I don't know that I would put Gallinari in the lead, but they're going to get one of those three power forwards because they're moving on from Dario Saric.
And the difference is Gordon would be a trade.
Yes.
Markkanen would be a trade.
Uh-huh.
Gallinari would be a straight sign.
Yes.
Because he's an unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
Not that I'm interested in this guy necessarily, but Fred VanVleet, who I think is a very good player.
I've always loved him.
He's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, I've always liked VanVleet. He was so tough in the playoffs last year, made so many big plays for the Raptors as they won the NBA championship. And I'm totally expecting that point guard, another ball handler, a backup point guard, will be a major priority for them.
Evan Fournier is an opt-out option. And in the Athletic's opinion, that website, they would rank him third behind VanVleet and Gallinari among free agents. Gordon Hayward, DeMar DeRozan are two guys who could opt out of their deal, but the suggestion seems to be that the opt-in would be the better strategy for both those guys. Tim Hardaway Jr. is an opt-out wild card as well.
Don't see any of those names as options.
And then when you get past those. That's kind of the A list, okay, which isn't much of a list, obviously. Then you get below that, and these are the words of The Athletic. At that level, the market looks better. A number of good second-line players, including Jordan Clarkson, Montrezl Harrell, Marcus Morris, that's not going to happen, Hassan Whiteside, Paul Millsap, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Joe Harris, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Tristan Thompson, Jay Crowder, all stand to make between $7 and $15 million a year this summer. Not max deals, not max guys, but the kind of guys who could conceivably fill out a roster and really strengthen your bench, make your second unit that much better, which is something the Suns desperately need to do.
I like the Joe Harris name.
Yeah,
I do. I think they'll sign a free agent. I think they'll spend a little bit of their money on a free agent, and then I think trade will be the way they go for the majority of the players that they look. They'll upgrade three positions if they're not going to bring back Baines. From what my understanding is, I'm not expecting Baines to come back, so they need a backup center. Saric isn't coming back. You need a power forward. You need a better backup point guard than the guys you have right now. So that's three positions right there that I'm expecting that they'll upgrade: power forward, backup center, point guard. Could they get a bench player that's, I know, a small forward or a shooting guard that could just add shooting? Yeah, they could do that. I'll say four new players that they get via trade or free agency. Four.
Yeah, Gallinari appeals to me. I understand he's going to be expensive, and I understand he might not be the star player people would envision. But, boy, he would be at a position of need, and he would give them a skill of need, and that is as a shooter. They just don't have enough shooters. They don't. And he
can shoot.
And he can shoot. Mm-hmm. He can flat out shoot. And I understand that trade would be the more preferable way of looking at it. Man, of all of those names out there, Gallinari is just the one that, boy, it seems like he checks some boxes. Seems like he would bring to the Suns some things they would need. I'm fine that they didn't trade for him, because I think that would have been a costly rental.
So he'll be 32 when next season starts. He'll be 32 years old. So you're going to give him a contract that takes him to 35, 36? I mean, I'm just saying, this is stuff you got to think about, right? The other guys, the Markkanen and Aaron Gordon,
sure,
are younger.
Much younger.
They're much younger. And with Gallinari, I mean, he played 21 games in 2017-18. He played, you know, he's missed a lot of games over his career. He's missed a lot of games with injuries. So you've had some injury history with Gallinari. He's going to be 32.
He'll fit right in around here.
Yeah, I know. Okay, maybe.
Injury histories? The Phoenix Suns say, hold my beer. We got plenty of injuries.
He's been playing since 2008. He's got a lot of games, got some wear and tears, had some injuries, going to be 32. And if you sign him to a contract, he's not signing a one-year deal.
I get that. I'm just saying the trade market is dependent on another team willing to trade the player.
Yeah, and you'd have to give up your first-round pick, too, just so you know. Yeah, I mean, you'd have to give that up.
The free agency market is not dependent on that. The free agency market is just a highest bidder kind of a thing, right? I mean, Lauri Markkanen is great if Lauri Markkanen's available. Now, I think he's going to be available, too, but you don't know for sure.
No.
Aaron Gordon's great. You don't know for sure Aaron Gordon's going to be available.
I think he will be.
We know for sure Danilo Gallinari is going to be available. We know it for sure. And
but
you can
also
proceed with that.
You're also, if you make a trade, you just got to beat out anybody else that's trying to trade him. You might have the best draft pick, and that might be the most enticing thing. With Gallinari, he might be, I want to go to a contender.
Yes.
I want to win. I want to go win a championship.
You might
I want to go to a contender.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. So you're saying if trade is the route, that first round pick in 2021, bye-bye?
I'll tell you right now, what's today's date?
Today's the
February 12th. Right? You write this down. I don't think the Suns are keeping that draft pick.
Okay,
because I think the only way you're going to pry the guys, that's your carrot you're dangling. I'll say it on February 12th. I do not think the Suns are going to keep their draft pick. I think they're trading it.
The 32nd annual Arizona Renaissance Festival. It's begun. The raucous revelry that is the Renaissance Festival lasts each
the raucous
weekend.
Revelry.
Man, I'm just reading what they put in front of me.
Man, that sounds exciting.
The raucous revelry. That is the Renaissance Festival lasts each weekend until March 29th. We're giving you the chance to win a family four-pack of tickets. Visit the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter for the raucous revelry. He was one of the top targets for Cardinals fans' anger this past offseason. So when Michael Bidwell was in for Newsmakers Week, he was asked about the criticism that Steve Keim has received this offseason. You'll hear how he responded to those questions next on the Burns and Gambo Show. It's obvious that among some Cardinal fans, faith has been lost in Steve Keim as the general manager of this team. It's pretty obvious after listening to Michael Bidwell this morning on the Doug and Wolf show as part of Newsmakers Week, and he was in studio for a half hour. It's very obvious that Michael does not share that opinion or that lack of faith in Steve Keim. Here was his answer to the question about Keim and his support of his GM.
Well, I'd say he just picked a rookie of the year, his last draft pick. He had obviously a lot to do with hiring Cliff Kingsbury. He's done a lot of things right, and I feel like, you know, we've certainly turned, and for as much as the Cardinals are going in the right direction, Steve Keim deserves a lot of credit for that, and so I hope fans recognize that was a lot of his decision-making. Kenyon Drake, we spent a few minutes speaking about Kenyon. There are a lot of good things that are happening.
And when it comes to some of the decisions, in particular the ones on the defense, so look, you can't blame Steve Keim for guys getting hurt the way they did.
He's received his fair share of criticism. Some of these draft picks didn't work out. But you look at just last year, look at the number of starters that were not available in our defense. Had they been available, you know, the season could have been, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, much different. That had to do with injury and other things that, you know, you can't blame any general manager for.
I was not in favor of firing Steve. I want to give Steve another year. He's done a lot of good things for this organization, so I was not in the corner of people, and there were a lot of people. I was probably in the minority. You might have been too, of firing Steve. I was not in the corner of firing Vance Joseph. Wanted to see a little more continuity. I want to see, look, the hiring of Cliff Kingsbury looks like a very good move. The drafting of Kyler Murray is a very good move. Byron Murphy, I think, been thrown into the fire. That kid's a good player. I mean, he had some hard times, but he's a good player. Zach Allen, we didn't get to see a lot of him, but the belief is he's a really good player. J.R. Sweezy was a really good free agent signing. Mm-hmm. That offensive line really did a good job this year. So Justin Pugh was a free agent signing. He had a great year last year, Justin Pugh. A.Q. Shipley had a great year. Sweezy had a great year. D.J. Humphries was one of his draft picks, had a great year. So I was in favor of letting that thing play out. Because remember when they won 3 games in a row? It was like, they're not going to be as good as this. So you can't judge it on that, but you also can't judge it on a 3-game losing streak. You got to play this thing out. It wasn't fair to make a decision on these people and their jobs 5 weeks into the season. And a lot of people were doing that, and that was not the right thing.
No, and I for me, I think what was the most unfair, and it's kind of happening now, is, okay, so here's Michael, and he's crediting Steve Keim for being the one who drafted Kyler Murray, who drafted the rookie of the year. And there are some who are now saying, well, of course he did. It's the obvious move. It drafting Kyler Murray was a no-brainer. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It was not. We are at the one-year anniversary of Kyler Murray declaring for the NFL draft. Trust me, this time a year ago, nobody in this valley was saying, oh, there's nothing to think about here. You just draft Kyler Murray. It was a bold decision. It was one that was, it looks obvious now. The guy just won the rookie of the year. This time a year ago, there was nothing obvious about taking Kyler Murray, given how complicated the situation was.
Williams, Murray. It was the three of them. And it could have been any one of the three. Now, we narrowed it down. If they weren't going to take Murray, it was going to be Bosa. We stayed with that all along, and we were right. They were going to take Bosa if they didn't take, you know, Quinn and Williams. But going into the day of the draft, we were pretty sure they were going to take Murray, but I wouldn't have bet a house payment on it. Would you have?
No. I wouldn't have. I don't even know if I would have bet. I think I would have bet a lunch on it. I wouldn't have bet a car payment. I wouldn't have bet a mortgage payment on it. I think I would have bet a lunch that it was going to be Kyler Murray. Now, that being said, my feelings about Steve Keim are very, very complicated because for all the talk about the positive direction the Cardinals are headed in, they are only headed in that direction because of the negative direction they were in from a lot of the decisions that Steve Keim made, from a lot of the draft picks he made, from a lot of the poor choices that were made. So the only reason there's positive momentum now is because there was negative momentum based off of the decisions that were made to get to that point in the first place. And so
some out of their control.
Some, but
right, like
some
the Darius Bylon thing you mentioned. How do you know the guy's going to go shooting up a gun?
But the constant stream of draft picks that have busted out, and I don't mean in a good way. I mean in a very bad way. That's very much in their control. That's very much, and it's also part of the crapshoot nature of the draft. I get that, But Steve Keim, let me put it this way. I used to think, and you know this about me, I used to think that, hey, if you get the franchise quarterback thing right, nothing else matters.
You've said that many times.
And you know what? I wish I could take that back, because all the other stuff does matter. All the other stuff. Just because he got Kyler Murray right doesn't mean that Steve Keim is operating with this blank check of, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if the other decisions don't work out very well, because he got Kyler Murray right. That's not,
that masks,
that's not
a lot
right.
of that masks oh, a lot of stuff.
It's a heck of a deodorant.
Yeah, if you don't have a franchise quarterback,
of course,
you're in trouble. Like we're seeing all of these teams with these quarterback carousels, and what's gonna, man? It's nice to not have to think about
it.
That.
Is it is? It's not only a nice deodorant; it's also a very nice time buyer. Buys you a lot of time when you get that right. I just, there's still so, and I hope, I can only hope that Steve Keim, if he's self-analyzing like he says he does, I hope he's looking at his penchant for failed first-round picks, and he's saying, what are we doing wrong? What about our process is broken? What about our player evaluation process needs to be improved? Because obviously, we're not getting this right. We're missing on too many players. We're missing on way too many first-rounders. And we've got to do a better job.
Maybe
because
safer pick. You've said that before. Maybe you go with the safer pick.
I think they have to go with the safest pick this year. They have to go with...
Who do we know is going to, you know, instead of like, you know, listen, just, you know, play it to, you know, get an 80, 85 on the test. And because a lot of guys are boom or bust, right? You can get a 90 to 100 or a 60. You know, maybe there's guys out there that are a little bit safer. Now, most, you know, you try to take the best player available on your board. You do all these evaluations, and that's the way it usually works. But there might be a player that you feel like, hey, this, nobody knows that, but there might be a player you feel is just not going to miss.
One other quick one I want to play from Michael today. How would he feel if the Arizona Cardinals were chosen for Hard Knocks?
Well, you know, we're always going to listen to everything, but I think there are a lot of things that we've done in the past that you know, our number is up. We know that on the possibility of an international series game this year or next year or the following year. There are a lot of things that the teams that have had records that don't put them in the playoffs end up with, and so we'll see what comes up. But I think for now we've done a good job of being available and volunteering to do things, including Hard Knocks, or not Hard Knocks, but All or Nothing a few years ago. So we'll see where we end up.
There are five teams, Gambo, that could be mandated to be on Hard Knocks in 2020. The Cardinals are one of them, along with the Broncos, the Jags, the Lions, and the Steelers. Now, I interpreted that answer as, hey, if that's what the league wants us to do, we'll do it, because we've always been good soldiers. Jordan, our producer, interpreted it almost just as the opposite.
Hell
hey,
no, man. I've done enough of this
hey,
league.
Hey, we've done plenty. You know,
we're going to Mexico this
international
year.
Games. We've done them. All or Nothing. We did it. We've done our bit for King and Country. Now leave us alone. We don't want to be on Hard Knocks. At the end of the day, of those five teams, Steelers, Lions, Jags, Broncos, and Cardinals, I have a hard time believing that any of them are as interesting as year two of Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. I have a hard time believing that. I think they're going to be on Hard Knocks. I think they're going
over Matthew Stafford and the Lions,
over Drew Lock and the Broncos, over maybe Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars. But yeah, I think they're going to be on Hard Knocks.
I could buy that.
That's just
I could buy
just
that.
My guess. When we come back, just over an hour away from the Suns' final home game, final game period before the NBA trade deadline. How important is it for them to head into their vacation with a win? We'll try to get to the bottom of that next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Gambo Show live from Talking Stick Resort Arena, the Casino Arizona Pavilion. Suns final home game before the All-Star break. I said the trade deadline in the tease, but I meant I went Ron Burgundy. It was,
you've had a rough day today, my friend.
I have. I had to drive all the way home to get my laptop. Yeah, I was Ron Burgundy. I read here on the tease that was emailed to me. We are just over an hour away from the Suns final home game before the NBA trade deadline. and I went Ron Burgundy, and I read it without thinking about it. I'm Ron Burgundy.
No, obviously, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse, like it was for Ron Burgundy.
That's why I don't drive shows. Like, I don't want anything to do with that stuff. Reading teases, I don't want anything to do with
obviously,
it.
Obviously, it's not the trade deadline. It's the All-Star break, but whatever. We've got Tom Leander, Tom Chambers. Tom Chambers is amused by all this. He's just sitting there going, yeah. Well.
Could you imagine Gambo or Tom Chambers reading a teleprompter? That's hilarious.
Gambo tried to convince us all earlier that he could be a lawyer. That he'd be a great lawyer.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. You know what? I'd have him represent me.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Would you really? Well,
it was that whole Mike Bolsinger. You know the guy that's suing the Astros, that he pitched against the Astros, and he had his career? I'd be like, Your Honor. Okay, what about his game against the Red Sox when he gave up 4 runs? Or the Tigers when he gave up 5 runs? Or the 6 runs he gave up against the White Sox? He sucks. He's not good. Like, it's not the Astros that ended his career. He ended his career. He couldn't get anybody out. For 2 years.
Your Honor.
How about the year before? He had an ERA of 6.5 with the Dodgers. What do the Astros have to do with
no
that?
There's no R's when there are, and there is R's when there's not.
My name is not Anna.
It's Anna.
It's
Daughter.
Andrew.
Would you call me?
The Utes. Final game before the All-Star break. And for the Suns, it's Tom Leander, Tom Chambers, and we'll be on with them on Fox Sports Arizona about 6:45 or so for their pregame coverage starting at 6:30. It's obvious. They need this, right? Devin Booker in particular looks like he could use a little bit of a break right now, right? Either one of you.
Absolutely. And, you know, mentally, too. And there's a different lineup out there every night. And finally, they look like something's going to happen. And then Ayton misses a game. And, you know, I mean, Cam wasn't playing. Frank's been out. Baines hasn't done anything for, a month and a half. So it's frustrating because people are coming in and out. And it's frustrating for us, too, because we saw something special early in the season. We saw these guys working hard, playing smart, playing unselfish. And we just haven't been able to get back to it because guys haven't played.
And Devin said, he needs to get off the grid. He hasn't even made plans yet for All-Star Weekend, but that he's just emotionally drained. And he brought up the last couple of weeks, the whole Kobe situation, too. I mean, a lot of these guys have been through an emotional roller coaster. And like TC said, then you've got the Sun season on top of that for Devin. Man, he needs this 10-day break.
Banana boat with D'Angelo and Kat in the Bahamas. Are we going to see that?
I thought about that. Neither one of them are in the All-Star game.
Yeah, they're going to get all these guys back except for Kaminsky after the break. So they're expecting to get all those guys back. But I think, with the amount of games that Baines has missed, I don't think he comes back next year, and I don't think Sarge comes back next year, so they're going to be looking for a new power forward and a new backup center.
Well, we've got Jonah Bolden tonight.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the way the league's going, though, it's like Cam could be playing power forward next year, too. I mean, they need somebody for sure that shoots the ball with Ayton in the middle so he can hopefully fall in love with the paint and be a power center at times. But it's just frustrating because even today in today's league, it's like, you know, I missed 5 weeks when I broke my leg. Okay, and guys now miss 5 weeks when they, whatever. I mean,
even their thumb.
I mean, even Steph. Yeah, he broke his hand, but you don't need 3 months to heal a hand. Bones heal in 5 weeks. You know what I'm saying? And then you got to come back and do it. So it's like, but nobody questions that anymore. The agents are running this thing, in my opinion. And it's frustrating because they don't want their players to play unless they're 100% or situation's got to be right.
Capacity.
And that bothers me.
And that's another thing that's wearing on Devin, too. I mean, gosh, you go into L.A. and you got LeBron and Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. And you look like your backup center is Tariq Owens, who weighs about 170 pounds.
Is there anything you guys wanted them to do at the trade deadline? Or are you okay with the fact that they're going to wait until the summer to address their needs?
I had no problem with them not doing anything. You know, we heard a couple of rumors out there. I had no idea, where the rumor with Kelly was or what they were talking about there. But, there was some rumors, and you like to know that they're doing stuff. And I don't understand how any rumors even get out anymore because people really don't talk about it unless it's an agent saying to stir something up for his player. But I'm fine with them holding tight. I really like this team. Early in the season, I really liked what they had and what they were doing, and it's just a shell of that now.
Can they if they start to get guys back after the break? Can they? They're not going to compete for a playoff spot. Can they recapture some of that when they start to get some of their depth back and when they start to have as close as they can get to a full complement of starters and bench players available?
Well, TC can speak to this because that's why he came to Phoenix in the first place. When they made that trade for Kevin Johnson, the Sun season was over by that point, but they showed a lot of promise the last 2 months. They were running up and down the court, scoring a lot of points, and all of a sudden, TC, who's going to be a free agent, is like, that looks like a nice team to play for. Great city.
Absolutely. I mean, you can slide somebody in. I mean, I heard you guys talking about a couple of guys with other teams. Now, aren't going to be free agents, but you can make a trade for guys. Some teams, and it's so interesting because you think other players are so awesome, and you see the warts on your own. And so there's teams out there that don't like, you know, I'm not even supposed to talk about players, but, you know, guys that used to play at University of Arizona that would fit in, you know, really well here. You know, and so you wonder what's going to happen, what's going to transpire. But it's just frustrating because I keep hoping. The only thing that I keep hoping for, too, is one of these backup point guards just stands out.
Right, the pops.
Because right now, there's three of them, and it's...
They'll have a new one next year, I promise.
You know, I mean, I don't doubt that. But, you know, it's just frustrating because you want to see somebody just really, really be the man.
I hope they keep Javon Carter around, whether or not he's the backup point guard. But he's a great guy to bring off the bench. If the team comes out flat, and he gets along with all the guys really well, it just brings an intensity. He's always a great guy. I hate to pigeonhole him toward the end of the bench, but that Monty could turn to.
Yeah,
to shake things up.
This quote from Steve Kerr before tonight's game, quote, "I voted for Devin Booker, and I'm not just saying that because we're playing against them tonight. I'm not trying to butter him up. I think he's had an all-star year. I was disappointed for him," close quote. Do you guys want to know who the coaches voted for?
Absolutely.
Do you guys want that to be public knowledge?
I also understand why they wouldn't want people to know. But no, I definitely want to hear. I mean, that's great that Steve came out and said it. Are you going to come out and say, no, I didn't vote for him? So, that's the only way to figure this thing out is either to make all these coaches.
Yeah, we talked about that in the aftermath of the announcement show. I would have loved to have known what some of these coaches, especially the ones who
I still want to know who didn't vote for Derek Jeter. One person.
You're never going to
I still want to know that.
Yeah.
Well, spell Jeter for me.
J-E-T-U-H.
Is it A-H?
Jeter.
He said we were...
Rhymes with cheetah.
He said yesterday, you know, we'll be on tomorrow, and Chambers will probably give Gambo crap about it.
I told you.
Two times. I've been about five, six, seven minutes. Times already.
Your Honor.
And I said, you know, I don't have anything...
Your Honor. What
I don't have anything
Jeter
against Chambers. I like him.
You do now. You do now.
I don't have anything against the guy.
All right, guys. You're hitting the air at 6:30. We'll be on with you about 6:45. Pre-game coverage for tonight's game against the Warriors. As always,
and you guys are the judges. We're having our own Sun Slam Dunk Contest, and you guys are the judges.
The four best
Tom
dunks
Leander
of the season.
And Tom Chambers.
Chambers.
Guys, thanks for swinging by. We appreciate it. Tom Leander, Tom Chambers here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Chambers.
We are... back tomorrow at 2 o'clock, half-hour edition of the Luke Lipinski. The Rundown with Luke Lipinski is next. We will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.